So with that, I'm gonna get us into the domestic industry issue, which is the second part of our slide presentation. Domestic industry is sort of an unusual animal, as litigants in district courts probably don't see that, in fact, don't see that at all. It's only an issue that's unique to ITC. What exactly is, it's a threshold requirement before you can seek any injunctive relief at the ITC. And you know, just imagine in district courts when we litigate, we're seeking damages, and if we want to seek injunction, there's like, you know, a whole host of factors, the EBA factors that we have to go through. At the ITC, injunction is your base remedy. So it's a very powerful tool. It's a very, you know, as far as negotiation leverage is concerned, getting into ITC can really shift the balance if you're opposite your biggest competitor. So why do we have to have domestic industry? It's the requirement is such that it encourages people, encourages litigants to have investments in the United States. If you're going to seek the agency's assistance in getting your competitor out of the country, excluding all of their products, you have to show that you have made investments in the U.S. You have to show that you are doing something, basically, that warrants you to that forum, to the unique remedies that are available at that forum. So from a policy perspective, it's a unique way of encouraging investments in the United States. As far as domestic industry statute is concerned, I've laid down the general wording of the statute. Under Section 337A3, what you have to show with respect to the articles protected by the patent, that you have made substantial investments in plant and equipment. If you don't have that, you can show that you have made significant investments towards employment of labor or invested in capital. If you don't have that, you can then go to the third prong, that you can show substantial investments in the exploitation of the patent rights, including, you know, engineering, R&D activities, or licensing activities. So you don't have to necessarily show manufacturing activities in the United States, but if you have that, if you have actual manufacturing, that is fantastic. That is great. If you have that, and you can show that you have invested a lot of money towards that, more likely than not, you will be able to satisfy the domestic industry requirement. But if you don't have that, you can still get to proving domestic industry in other ways. There's two specific issues that I'm going to talk about in this portion of our presentation are going to be what exactly is significant, what exactly is substantial. When the statute talks about those two terms, what exactly, how exactly is the commission interpreting those? And the second point within the domestic industry issues that we'll discuss is, what is the timing of those investments? When do you have to show that you have made those investments? And how far back can you go in time to recoup older investments? So with respect to the first sub-point about significant or substantial, what exactly is that? The question becomes, you know, is there a clear guidance that we have from the ITC? And the answer is no. Unfortunately, there is no easy number or easy percentage that qualifies as significant or substantial. If we had that, the bar of ITC litigators would be mostly out of work. So the answer, as often is in litigation, is it depends. Whether a dollar value is significant or substantial will most likely depend on the context. So if you're a patent owner and you're the ITC, this is your chance, and you have, if you don't have, you know, clear-cut manufacturing activities in the U.S., this will be your chance to show the commission, you know, that you've done some, you know, some work. Make it and put it in the right context. Essentially, you know, be creative here. So essentially, this is your chance to, you know, turn lead into gold, if you will. Now, with respect to the context, some of the ways that you can provide a favorable comparison to show your client's investments in the most favorable light is to, you can show, you know, your client made, let's say, $1 million towards the domestic industry product or the domestic industry general. See if you can put them in the context of overall U.S. sales. If there were, you know, not that many U.S. sales, most likely that number might get you, you know, over the hump. Compare your investments to your global operations if you can. If it's a favorable comparison, that can get you, you know, domestic industry as well. So those are some of the ways, and a few other ways that we've seen in prior cases, and I've listed the cases here. They're in the materials as well. I'm not going to go over them in detail given the time constraints, but these are some of the ways that have worked for parties in the past. Other few contexts that you can put your investments in is you can compare your investments to your opponent's investments in similar products. If you have invested, let's say $10 million, but your opponent has only invested two, that can help show that your investments, your client's investments, are significant and will help you, be able to prove the domestic industry prong. The other way you can do it is you can compare your investments to your overall size and to see if there's a favorable comparison to be made there. In a recent case, and we've listed the 1123 investigation at the bottom half of the slide here. There was the entity at issue was Walbro. They made carburetors, and their investments, the ALJ found that they were only 5% or less than 5% of their U.S. sales. And in analyzing the domestic industry, they said, "Well, you're a large company. If you have only made investments that are 5% of your U.S. sales."